fire at a food processing plant. This is for Taylor Farms.
By the time I got here, the building was engulfed in flames.
We are on the precipice of a global food crisis.
We haven't seen how bad this is going to get yet. I mean, everybody's talking about the cost of food. There's not going to be any food.
You did? Wait, when?
Up until we blew it up.
Oh my gosh, again, look at this, guys. Look at this video right now.
Problem, reaction, solution. In 2019, the World Health Organization, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and the World Economic Forum hosted a war game warning of a likely coronavirus pandemic that would plague the Earth. 2 months later, their predictions came true. This forewarning from the cabal of their intentions is not new. 7 years ago, the Center for Naval Analysis held a war game called Food Chain Reaction, which predicts a supply chain collapse beginning in 2020 and culminating in 2030, describing exactly what the world is now encountering. Which does make one wonder. Are they warning of a future that is their own creation? And what better person to manifest this war game than the man who funded it himself, the new climate czar, John Podesta. The following is a fictional news broadcast produced as part of the Food Chain Reaction Food Security Exercise in Washington, D.C. on November 9th, 2015.
Good evening. It's November 8th, 2020. And this is Dan Cronkite with your nightly news. With food prices rising around the world, tonight, a look at our increasingly vulnerable food system.
We've seen mounting challenges to governments, international organizations, and the private sector in providing access to affordable food. Pressure from a shrinking rural labor force, limited availability of new farmland, increased urbanization, social and political unrest, and climate change-induced risks have led to global food supply disruptions.
The stakes are clear. How will our leaders in government, business, and international aid react to this growing food security challenge? The world is looking to them for answers.
The infamous globalist Henry Kissinger once said, "Control oil and you control nations. Control food, and you control people." Problem, reaction, solution.
I'm Clayton with Heaven's Harvest. We got a survival food company. We kind of got our finger on the market, you know what I mean? We see the trends, we see the ups and downs. We stay up to date on news, what's going on. You know, we feel the pulse of the country.
Tonight, Americans' gas price headaches are getting worse.
BlackRock CEO Larry Fink warning that people should be worrying more about soaring food prices than oil prices.
I mean, people are getting worried now, and they should be. You know what I mean? Like, you can walk to the grocery store and see what's going on the aisles. Like, our grocery store, it's no longer individual products on each shelf. They just take the product and spread it out.
What's up with this? Aisle after aisle of folding chairs? And look at this store, the shelves filled with giant plastic piggy banks.
Every single aisle has these piggy banks here.
Nope, it's not the latest craze. They're decoys.
It's a tactic many stores are using to fill empty shelves at a time when the nation's experiencing major shortages of pretty much everything.
You're seeing all the chicken places being burnt down and the processing plants being burnt down. It's just driving the cost up.
As devastating as this is for Deli Star and its employees, there's going to be an undoubted ripple effect that's going to make it even harder for the small town of Fayetteville and the families and businesses that live here.
It's going to get bad here pretty quick.
saying a Cessna 340 twin-engine plane was traveling from around a local airport. Witnesses reporting the plane had veered sharply and crashed onto the side of the General Mills cereal plant here off Industrial Park Boulevard.
How many of them have been set intentionally? You know, I mean, like, it's, at this point, it's like almost not a coincidence that there's this many catching on fire.
This is the second time in a week that something like this has happened. On April 14th, the plane crashed into the Gem State Processing in East Idaho. What's going on here? Well, the story gets weirder. Food processing plants all over the country seem to be catching fire.
January 11th, 2021, Fayetteville, Illinois. Firefighters respond to the Deli Star meat plant at 10 p.m. The 75,000 square foot facility with 100 employees was declared a total loss with no injuries reported. August 2nd, 2021, Hansville, Alabama. One of its 250 employees dialed 911 from a Tyson-owned River Valley Ingredients poultry plant at 12:35 p.m. 26 area fire departments responded in addition to the Alabama Department of Environmental Management. The ADEM cleared the site of any environmental impact. Total loss, no injuries. 21 days later, in Cobb County, Georgia, a fire raged at the Paddock Meat Production Company. At approximately 10:30, fire crews arrived and began aggressively fighting the fire. Crews continued to put out hotspots till the morning. The two-year-old building was severely damaged. No injuries. October 12, 2021, Caldwell, Idaho. Dairy Gold Milk Drying Plant. 300 employees. No injuries. Total loss. November 29th, 2021, Scott Township, Pennsylvania, Made Right Steak Company. No injuries. Total loss. December 13th, 2021, San Antonio, Texas, Wisconsin River Meat Plant. 55 employees. No injuries. Total loss. February 22nd, March 16th, March 24th, April 13th, Maricopa, 2022, Arizona, 2022, Arizona, 2022, Arizona, 2022, Arizona, 2022, Arizona, 2022, Arizona, 2022, Arizona,
somebody has to be doing it on purpose. So I can't say that I don't believe in coincidences, but I don't believe in dozens, if not hundreds, of coincidences happening at the same time. One or two is possible, but hundreds is not a real thing.
While investigating these serial arsons, an employee of the River Valley Ingredients Plant of Hansville, Alabama, came forward on Facebook with a thinly veiled acknowledgement of foul play. So, we messaged her. And then asked if she would come on air to blow the whistle. She declined, indicating it was pointless, because the corporate lawyers made it known that nobody got hurt.
Recent fires at food processing plants across the U.S. have several people speculating online if something else is behind them. This tweet notes a, quote, odd coincidence that, quote, 18 U.S. food processing facilities burned down in the last 6 months.
My name is attorney Stephanie Lambert. I represent Ruth Moten in Moten vs. Bookfar in Pennsylvania. And we have discovered some interesting data as a result of doing a deep dive in this case. Jim Savage, the voting machine warehouse supervisor, is one of the defendants that Ruth Moten sued. And when we were taking a look at some of the whistleblower audio and video, Jim Savage made an interesting statement.
I worked in a refinery shop too.
You did? Wait, when?
Up until we blew it up. I was there for the explosion.
So at that point, we took a look into Jim Savage's life. You know, he has a home in Costa Rica. The home and its value didn't, you know, match necessarily what his expected income would be.
The beach is called Unkia.
Unkia? If it's an empty lot, does it have an address? Or do they give you an address yet? How did they do that?
Thing in Costa Rica.
Jim Savage is very much involved as a Democrat. He was a Bernie Sanders delegate. Then he supported Hillary Clinton. You know, he's been at a number of the rallies and marches regarding the Supreme Court decision on abortion. We have him on tape talking about how he has the DA essentially owing him favors as a result of being his political buffer.
And the district attorney?
They owed me.
Why did they owe you?
Well, you know, before I did this, I did elections. And Jack, I was like Jack's progressive shield. He helped me up. Hey.
That's nice. He was your buffer?
I was his buffer.
Oh, you were his buffer.
He's no longer the voting machine warehouse supervisor. He's now in Washington, D.C.
Perhaps Mr. Savage has returned to the swamp to further the progress of food chain reaction. In 2020, John Podesta's supposedly fictitious war game became a reality. The game took the players from the year 2020 to 2030. And as it was projected, the decade brought two major food crises. Keep in mind, this war game was produced in 2015, and 7 years later, we are seeing it come to life perfectly, with prices approaching 400% of the long-term average, a raft of climate-related extreme weather events, and predictions of governments toppling in Pakistan and Ukraine.
More than 100 days into the war in Ukraine, the United Nations is warning yet again of a devastating global food crisis.
Go!
Pretty simple. They produce 30% of the world's urea between Russia, Ukraine, that region. So while it's in the state that it's in, they're not producing as much, exporting as much. You know, we import raws and we manufacture here. So you're importing raws, and you know, 30% of the raw product in the world is coming out of one region, and all of a sudden it's on fire. That has a cause and effect. Urea is a main nitrogen that we use. It's a cheaper version of nitrogen. In some amount, some volume, at some rate, there really isn't a crop that is produced that urea can't be used on. Remove 30% of supply. Basic economics is supply, demand. Demand's consistent, supply's down, price's up.
With regard to food shortage, yes, we did talk about food shortages. And it's going to be real.
If you pump gas or pay a heating bill, you're already on the economic front lines of the showdown in Ukraine. Home heating oil up 56% in a year. Gasoline now averaging $3.51 nationally, up from $2.63 a year ago.
You have nine things coming to create a problem, and you're not really sure how many you have to fix to kind of correct the problem.
And other shocks have made the crisis worse.
We are in uncharted territory because not only do we have a food crisis with multiple causes, but also this is coming on top of an energy crisis.
An end to the sale of petrol and diesel cars by 2027. That's one of the radical suggestions from the Committee for Sydney if our city is to meet emission reduction goals. The think tank's wide-ranging proposals also cover your home and your workplace.
Control oil, and you control nations.
Yeah, that's a huge problem on everybody's bottom line. Your ships that are bringing materials over are diesel. The trucks that pull from the ports are diesel. There's probably a forklift or two at a port that are diesel.
You know, the farms, like the truck that brought the chemicals to the farm came on a diesel truck. The fertilizer that's coming out of the ground is being mined with diesel.
The water coming out of the ground is because of a diesel pump.
The tractors running up and down, it's all diesel. You know, when they pick the crop and get it out of the field, it's being delivered with a diesel truck.
Every time a load of beef moves from a farm to a feedlot, every time it moves from a feedlot to a meat packer, every piece of meat, every piece of vegetable, every piece of clothing, every consumable item on this planet moves with diesel.
I know we haven't seen the worst of it yet. Like it's gonna be beyond, oh, food's expensive. It's gonna be, we don't have food. The stuff we're eating today didn't come out of the ground yesterday. The stuff we're eating today came out of the ground back in the fall. Fuel prices were still cheap then. This fall is going to be bad.
According to their own documents, we are in stage one of four stages, culminating in total collapse by the year 2030. 7 years ago, United States Senate Majority Leader Tom Daschle described food chain reaction and his involvement in the war game. He said, "It's much closer to the real world than you think. The people who play the game here are very committed and serious."
The simulation showed us that we really need to get ahead of the curve.
For the last couple days, we've learned that alone we can't do it. But together, we have all the confidence that this is a problem that we can solve.
I think it's best we all start believing what they tell us.
And we both talked about how we could increase and disseminate more rapidly food shortages.
But awareness of their plans isn't enough. We must also prepare.
There's a lot of people out there that aren't ready for this. It doesn't need to be a lifestyle change. You know, I mean, it's small steps. We wanted to put together a food that it did what it said it was going to do. You know what I mean? If you need a month's worth of food, here's a month's worth of food. And we wanted to put something together that was better. You know, we wanted to get rid of the drink mixes. I got rid of the rice. You know, a lot of places they'll sell you a bucket of food and put 10 pounds of rice in the bottom of it and charge a premium for it. You know, now you feel like you got a real heavy-duty bucket with a lot of food in it. You know, we just put, like, true meals in these buckets. On our site, we've got, you know, a way to store water. We've got a way to filter water in a bottle, and then we've got a way to filter, you know, multiple gallons of water. Our seed kit, you know, there's 39 different varieties of heirloom seeds in there. And again, you don't need to be a master gardener to plant these things. You know, I've got two younger daughters, and you didn't realize how much time we spent together in the garden picking tomatoes or picking corn or planting a seed. You know what I mean? Like it shocked me how much those two were interested in digging a hole in the ground and putting a seed in it. It's insurance, it's survival insurance. But with a little bit of preparation, you can make sure your family's okay if something does happen. And the question I get all the time is, well, I can't grow. I can't plant a garden. You know, I don't have a green thumb. Look, God has done most of this work for us. If you put something in the ground, it may not be the biggest and best crop, but something will come up. Like you'll get something to eat, you know. And it may take a few seasons before you figure it out and what you need to do. But if you get a seed in the ground, it will grow. Keep water on it. Keep it in the sun. It will grow. You'll get something out of it. So it's important to know how to do this stuff before you need to know how to do it. I was always under the assumption I was going to stand up here on top of this hill with my gun on my shoulder and take care of my family. And that's not the way it works. They say the lone wolf dies alone. Survival is about a community, the whole community taking care of each other. And if the time comes, we can all come together and pool our resources. I heard somebody say the other day that if you're always prepared, you never have to get ready.